Welcome to the Sell or Die Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Gittimer. Well, in this podcast, we're going to help you attract more qualified, unbelievable, ready-to-buy clients. And the one thing you're hoping for, close more deals. It's time to sell or die.
Diehards, we have a coach with us who is not just a sales coach. She is a life coach as well. And she is here today, the great Christine Gallagher is here today to talk to us about what it means for you to have a coach, because most of you don't. And there's a real good reason for it. I don't know the reason because I have a coach. I don't think Christine knows the reason because she's got a coach, but I was wondering who your coach is and let's find out why that works. Welcome, Christine.
Hey, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How often do you do podcasts?
The idea is to do them every month, at least once a month. Mm-hmm. But it's all depending on if I have my stuff together. And I have my own podcast, so I try to do that weekly. But again, we do our best.
What's your podcast called?
My podcast is called She's Got This, which is a play on my company, which is called She's Got Client.
Got it. Cool. So you're branded.
Yeah.
And do you do your podcast by yourself or do you have other people on as well?
I do both. I would say right now, 75% of it is me alone. And then 25% is guests. And we want to do more guests.
I actually like doing them alone because I get to pontificate and nobody interrupts me.
Yes, that's always good too.
Nobody disagrees with me because it's just me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say I'm about 50-50.
Okay.
I think that's a good, kind of mix, rule of thumb kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
So when did you realize that you were a coach?
Great question. So I would say about 15 years ago when I got laid off from my last job and wondered, what am I going to do with my life? And I was good at writing. I was good at tech and social media was blowing up at the time. Twitter was new. And I looked out at the landscape and realized the business owners didn't know what the heck they were doing with social media. They didn't get it. The techie part, but also just like the building relationship part. And I found out there was this thing called coaching. And so at first I might've called myself a consultant because I was like, consultant was known, you're a consultant, you help people in business. But I found out about the world of coaching and that all these women were at home in their yoga pants, calling themselves coaches, having a business. So I think that was the first time that I really realized like I can coach people how to use social media for business. And that's how I got started.
I think coaching, and this just to me, consultants come in, they crap all over your birthday cake. They leave you a list of shit to do and then they leave. Coaches help you eat the birthday cake. They're going to show you the best method to cut it, where to store it. And I perceive them to be much more helpful. Plus, if you look at a sports team coach, they're cheering you on. They want you to score. They want you to win. The consultant has a pipe up his ass and he's got a suit on and, he's trying to be something that he's not.
I love that distinction. That's excellent.
But to me, the coach, and I don't consider myself a coach, but I help a lot of people. So I guess in some degrees, it's coaching. But I do sales events and I help sales teams get better by giving them real world advice that they can take out into the street and turn into money.
Yeah.
Literally right after they hear it. So I'm more of a pragmatic person than a big picture person.
Yeah.
But I'm Philly.
We're both Philly. Yeah. South Jersey, Philly people.
South Jersey, Philly. Exactly. Eagles. Exactly.
Yeah. I would also say, I think I mentioned this too. We were talking the other day, coaches are known also as kind of sometimes more wishy-washy. What do you think you should do with this?
Yeah.
And I've never been that kind of coach. So I think coaching and consulting overlap because I also see coaches as some of them give strategy and they tell you what to do and they give you the steps. And that's important too as a coach.
I have a therapist who has never asked me, how does that make you feel? And that's
good thing.
Right. Exactly. He'll go listen, fucker, you need to do this.
Right.
Which
right.
to me is a better way of coaching than it is, the coaches, look at any Bobby Knight film, coach for the Indiana Hoosiers basketball. Yep. Wild.
Yeah.
But won national championships, had an undefeated team, players love them. So I think that there's a strategy there where you have to, I'm not going to call it tough love, but I am going to call it tough coaching.
Yeah.
I think that there's an element that says the coach can look at this and say, dude, what the hell are you thinking here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's a better way to think. The coach will tell you how to think better.
Yeah.
The consultant will put it on a list.
Well, yeah, that's a good point too. And I will say with clients that I've coached, you do need to be direct and sort of kick and butt sometimes because a lot of women come to me and they're not all of them, but some of them afraid to be visible and afraid to be seen in their businesses, and you got to be visible. And so that takes some tough love sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. But women have something that men don't have.
Yeah.
They have makeup. And makeup can make you feel a little bit better. You know, you look more beautiful. You have certain things that match. You have a foundation. Men don't have a foundation. They have a bar of soap and some water.
That's really true. It's much simpler for you guys, though. So, you know, we have to worry about what color to pick. And so, you know, there's pros and cons.
There's another element of this that is universal. And I'm going to throw a word at you that's very old, but I think it's in preparation for talking with you today. I wanted to find out what your level of moxie is. Moxie is a great word. It's a Northeastern word. It was actually a beverage at one time.
Okay.
By moxie, it tasted like cough syrup.
Oh, geez.
It was always known for its, and it had some kind of chemical in it, you know, some kind of something or other. But it was endorsed by Ted Williams. It became his, you know, favorite thing. And moxie has always been something to me where if you have it, you can get further. If you don't have it, you're going to, you know what I mean? What happened to that guy? Oh, he had no moxie.
Yeah.
Or he had no balls, or he had no charisma, or he had no chutzpah, or whatever the word is that you want to use. But moxie is kind of a nice, sort of an all-inclusive word that says you can do this.
Yeah.
You need a little more moxie.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think that especially if you are the brand, you know, Jane Smith, the brand, Jane Smith, the coach out there on social media, she's got to have moxie in order to put herself out there and to really talk herself up and make people realize that she's the one that they should hire. If you don't have moxie, you're kind of fading into the wallpaper, as it were.
So you can, I have a couple of suggestions for you because I looked you up online and somebody else has your name, those bastards.
I know.
Yeah, it's horrible. So I think you should be Christine Gallagher Moxie.
Okay.
No one will ever take that.
All right.
Or you can be Christine parenthesis Moxie Gallagher.
Moxie Gallagher, my new middle name.
Yeah, Christine M.
I like that.
Yeah, which is opposed to Christine F. Gallagher. Which is...
We don't want that.
No.
Not good branding.
But the bottom line is you have intelligence, but you don't have individual online presence. Somebody else screwed it up.
They did.
So you have to work on that. But anybody who's a guest on the show automatically gets my help.
Yeah, I can see that.
We can figure out a way to help that. I try to be prepared for my customers. Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, my pleasure. And I know because you're an Eagles fan and because you're a Phillies fan and because you're, you know, from, we automatically have this sort of branded connection.
Yes.
No one likes us. We don't care.
Right. And that's part of moxie. That's an attitude.
Totally.
That is Philly, quintessentially Philly.
Yep.
No one else can say that.
They don't have the balls to say it.
Right. And we get each other. You know, it's like as soon as we know we're from the same area, it's like an instant rapport. We know what that means.
You know, I had some oranges sent to me from Florida.
Okay.
And half of them were bruised up and screwed up. And I called the customer service line because it's a big old company. And the lady goes, "How can I help you?" And I go, "You're from Philly, aren't you?" She goes, "How did you know?" And so we struck up this conversation. She's sending me two cases of oranges. I'm going to get all kinds of stuff for nothing because of the Philadelphia connection.
Connection, right.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's great.
Yeah.
Use guys.
So what do you think is your best strategy for helping other people?
Well, best strategy, besides having moxie to tell them what to do and not shrink back from that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's big thing for me is consistency. When I look back over my career in coaching, it's consistency. I kept showing up, even if no one was showing up. I kept being there, even if no one was commenting and liking. And it's even harder now. There's even more noise.
Yeah.
But one of the things I always tell my clients is like, you keep showing up, you keep doing the thing.
Yeah. You keep being there.
Being there. And even if they're not commenting and liking, people are watching. This is really key. You have to understand that people are looking at what you're doing, even if you think they're not.
Yeah. Cameras off I have a 5:30 in the morning meeting for the Napoleon Hill Institute. It's a self-discipline thing. I've been doing it now for about 2 months.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. Believe me. Wow is not the first word out of my mouth.
I'm sure.
But when I get there, I feel okay. Mm. It's getting there. And it's having consistency in that. And that's part of the process. When you're coaching others, you have to coach on consistency. And the fact that you showed up when other people didn't, that's feather in your cap.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that at 5:30 in the morning, half of the people don't want to show their camera.
I can imagine.
Yeah. They're in a state of inebriation. They're in a state of undress, whatever it is. They're not wearing lipstick yet. And as a result of that, that's part of the whole deal. You have to have that readiness about you. Like, I'm ready at 5:30 in the morning, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
My expression is, even if your ass falls off, my ass falls off, I'm there at 5:30 in the morning.
I love that. Yeah. We don't want anybody's ass falling off.
No. It's too embarrassing, especially once you're past 20.
Right. Bad scene.
So you're there all the time. You have consistency. What else do you tell people that can help them get better as a leader or as a salesperson?
Well, there's, kind of the marketing 101 that I always go back to, which is understanding your people and knowing what their pain and their pleasure is. So what I tell my clients is their offer, whatever they're offering, whether that's a course, a program, a product, it has to bridge the gap between their pain and their pleasure. You are the gap. You are the gap filler. And you have to be able to express that in your marketing, what they're struggling with really, really clearly, and then what your offer does to solve that pain, because that's what they're going to respond to.
So you're going to try to get other people to see that you are the answer.
Yeah.
And once they realize you're the answer, then they'll have confidence enough to move forward.
Yeah, they will want to move forward, especially if they resonate with you. And if you are showing up consistently and putting yourself out there and not being afraid to be yourself and to have a brand and to have a certain style of your own, they're going to resonate with you over Joe Smith, who does similar things to you.
So what's the expression no pain, no gain mean?
No pain, no gain. You don't understand what they're struggling with and what keeps them up at night, then you're not going to be able to help them. You're not going to be able to express in your messaging how you can help them. And they're going to move on to the next person.
Cool. Yeah, that's totally cool. I don't wonder what keeps people up at night as much as I wonder what gets them out of bed in the morning.
That's a good way to look at it. Flip
because
it around.
What gets you out of bed in the morning is your source of inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, it's a brand new day, I can't wait to do it. Or like, oh shit, I gotta hit the snooze button.
Yeah. And a lot of people are hitting the snooze button.
If they called it a loser's button, not many people would hit it. But that's basically what it is. Now, I will tell you honestly that sometimes when it's really early in the morning, I set alarms 10 minutes apart.
Okay.
And that way it's like, all right. And then I'm out. But
all right.
When my feet hit the floor, I'm happy no matter what.
Yeah, you said that to me before. You're happy waking up and you're happy going to bed.
Yeah, every time. My secret for waking up is I try to get up 5 minutes before the alarm goes off. And that way I look at my phone, which everyone does, and I see, oh, the alarm's going to go off in 5 minutes. I don't want to hear it. So I'll just get out of bed now.
Ah, I'll have to use that.
Yeah, that's number one thing. And number two thing, there's a whole other element of going to sleep at night. I don't go to sleep at night with anything on my mind. I write everything down.
Get it out.
And by writing everything down, and now I can just talk it down.
Yeah.
I go into my phone and I just voice the text it, and I'm like, oh, I'm good. I can go to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Because most people are saying they're insomniacs. And why are they insomniacs? I mean, a lot of times it's because they've got so much stuff in their head, won't leave them alone.
And they're drunkiacs.
That's another thing.
But if you wake up in the morning and you're fuzzy, it's because you got fucked up the night before.
Yeah.
And you have to put yourself in a position where you go to sleep sober, so you wake up sober.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in Paris, then you're excused.
Well, yeah, because the wine is so good.
Yeah, exactly. So you have this coaching ability. People love you, correct?
Yeah.
And do you think they love you because you're real, as opposed to there's five steps that I have that everyone has to take? I mean, I consider you a down-to-earth person.
Yeah, I think that comes first, and then the strategy backs it up. Like, me being real and being Christine is what a lot of people are resonating with, and it repels some people, and that's okay, because we don't jive. It's like the Philadelphia thing, like we get each other, like sometimes there's repelling, and they're not my ideal clients.
Right, they may not like butterscotch crimpets, but I do.
They're so good.
I know.
I grew up on that.
And me too.
Yeah.
People will send me stuff, people will send me pretzels and tasty cakes.
Oh man, I need to start letting people know they need to send me this stuff.
Yeah, and I do, and they do. I'm Garrett's popcorn, but only the caramel.
And okay. Well, what drives me crazy is in Florida, everyone's selling Philly cheesesteaks.
And they don't taste like Philly cheesesteaks, right?
They're not Philly cheesesteak.
Well, if it says Philly in front of it, it ain't a cheesesteak.
That's right.
Because when you're in Philly, it doesn't say Philly cheesesteak because you're there. It's
right.
Just a cheesesteak.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we have so much in common. I love this.
With whiz and without whiz.
I'm onions and provolone.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And if you don't, when you go to, you know, there's two places, Pat's and Gino's on 7th Street.
Yep.
Passyunk Avenue. And if you don't tell them provolone at Gino's, they give you whiz.
Yeah, that's right.
The whiz must be cheaper.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Are you a Pat's or Gino's? Are you a Jim's?
I'm a Jim's. Yeah, I'm a Jim's.
Okay. I was always a Jim's.
Jim's burnt.
Yeah.
It's being rebuilt though.
Okay. It will rise again.
So when I'm in Philly now, I don't want a cheesesteak. I just want to go to Tommy DeNick's and get a brisket sandwich, which is the best sandwich in the world.
DeNick's.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
At the Reading Terminal.
Yeah, I know it.
You don't live in Philly anymore.
I don't live in Philly, and I'm just going to confess, I'm a vegan. So a lot of the stuff I don't eat anymore.
Oh my gosh.
What happened to me? I don't know.
Well, does brisket have much meat in it?
I think so. That might be all.
How did you become a vegan, and number one, and how did you stay there?
Yeah, so I became a vegan because one of my big whys in the world is to save more animals, particularly I wanted to open an animal sanctuary, and then I found out how backbreaking that is. And so then I decided with my millions, I just want to throw money at other people's animal sanctuaries. I said, I don't need the hard work. I just need to write the checks.
Yeah, just to feel good about it.
Exactly, right. I'm still saving the animals. And so it just, you know, to me, it was just a congruency thing. It was like, well, you know, I'm eating the animals. I want to save the animals. Let's try not to eat the animals and see what happens. Plus, it's also probably good for my health. And on 1/1/2016, I decided to start. And I said, if it's easy enough, I'll keep at it. And you know what? It was easier than I thought. So I stuck with it.
Does it? I'm a vegan except for hot dogs, steaks, hamburgers, bacon, of course.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I just want to give a disclaimer, like, to work with me, you don't have to be vegan. Like, I love all my people and whatever they eat. And cool. People will go out to dinner with me and they'll be like, is it okay if I eat this in front of you? I'm like, I don't care what you do. Eat whatever you want. Yeah. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. You want to kill yourself? Have at it.
Or whatever. You want to enjoy your brisket? Do that.
Okay. Maybe you can just, if we ever go out for a sandwich at the Reading Terminal, I'll find just, you can have the cinnamon buns at the Amish Bakery.
Okay. I'll take you up on that. The Amish Bakery is the best.
Scary.
Yeah. Scary good.
People don't know. And if you're from Philly, by the way, the Reading Terminal doesn't open until 8:00 officially. But at 7:00, there's a door on Arch Street that leads you right into the Amish breakfast place. And you can kind of sneak in and get breakfast.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Now you know.
How often are you sneaking in?
Whenever I'm in Philly.
I figured.
Although I go to Pontio's in New Jersey sometimes for breakfast.
Yeah. And
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how you have your own language when you come from the same place?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And no one questions the other language.
Yeah. Well, one of the big ones is, you know, Acme. I can barely say it the right way. Supermarkets. We say it's Acme. And
it
people
is.
Say Acme. And you don't say it like that? Acme.
Yeah. I say Acme. Yeah.
You didn't get
but
that.
But I'm a Bugs Bunny fan. And the Acme manufacturing company from the Roadrunners.
That might be it.
Yeah, that could be. So let's talk about coaching in 2024. What are you going to focus on? What are your customers need the most of that they're going to get out of the coaching process that you provide?
What do they need? They need a really good offer. They need a really good offer. And it goes back to, yes, understanding that pain and pleasure. But like, what are you going to do with your offer that's going to make them actually implement their stuff? So, you know, whether that's a product, a course, you know, because I think there's a statistic that like 98% of people who buy courses don't complete them, don't even finish them.
Really?
Yeah. It's like what I see for coaches is, what are you doing? What are you putting in place that's going to help your people actually take the action and do the thing? Probably if it's a one-on-one program, you have things in place where there's accountability, but you know, these courses where no one's doing the work, what we got to do something about that.
So let's focus on a word, outcome.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mary, Bob, when you buy this course, what do you want the outcome to be? Oh, I want to be thinner. I want to be smarter. I want to have more customers. I want to have more people calling me. I want to create inbound. Okay, fine. So here's how that's going to happen, but it won't happen until I send you this certificate that says you've graduated. So the coach to me has a responsibility, or the person selling the program has a responsibility to create outcome-oriented statements.
Yeah.
And that way I'm more likely to finish it. So you coach other coaches?
I do. I do. Yeah. I have a lot of coaches. And you mentioned certificate. What I'm curious, what do you think about certification programs for coaches?
I have them.
Yeah.
From salespeople.
Okay.
And I can tell you this, when they get that certificate, I print it out. Mm-hmm. I put their name on it. I sign it.
Yeah.
I don't frame it, but I put it in a top loader.
Yeah.
Something plastic. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would say, yeah, have a certificate, but not a PDF.
No.
You know, print the damn thing and send it out in the mail.
An actual physical Bingo. Certificate.
Yeah, so that people will frame it and put it up on their wall.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the great thing for coaches. You know, when you have a proven process, you can create a certification around that. You can certify people in your method as long as you know that it's a proven process that works.
Yeah, but you can also do follow-up stuff and have a customer that will buy the next course and the next course and the next That's course once they're certified.
That's right. Yeah. A whole suite of offers.
A suite of offers.
And upsells. Yeah. That's on my docket that to create a certification program. I haven't created one yet. So.
And so can you use the word Moxie?
I could. I think I will.
I think that you had, and this is not the old label, but if you look up the old Moxie label, the logo is gorgeous. I actually have that case. Up top there is a Moxie case.
Oh, cool.
And I put the Moxie book in there, but I sat down hard on my bookcase and fell on my head the other day. I haven't put it back up yet. But Moxie is a brand from the 30s. And so it's interesting that a brand 100 years old that's no longer manufactured is still desired. Go on eBay and try to find something Moxie that's not $100.
You know, I'm going to look that up because that could provide some great inspiration for the branding. And
Yeah. And you have Moxie. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you. I'd like to think so.
You guys, she's got clients.com is a website for Christine, and we'll have it in the show notes somewhere. But I would recommend, especially if you're female and you're looking to be able to get to that next plateau, this is a woman that's got Moxie.
Both. I got both.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Christine. Total pleasure to talk.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the show.
Don't forget to like, share.
Yeah, share with both your friends.
And subscribe to the podcast.
And remember, we have a free 22-day sales challenge. Just go to gitomer.com/sales challenge to start you on your way.